Harika işte. And I'm going to read a little today. I'm actually going to summarize a little bit about what I spoke about yesterday to the Russian-speaking devotees. We were reading from a quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and it was just one aspect of the Trinadapi Sunichana verse, where he describes what Lord Chaitanya meant by how one should be humbler than a blade of grass. But before I read that, I'm going to read a quote from Srila Prabhupada. I'm going to take advantage of the fact that I can just read and I don't have to have it translated. So thank you, English speakers, for participating. It gives me this opportunity. This is a quote from Srila Prabhupada from 1973. He says, "Now this displeasing of God, brothers, has already begun and gives me too much agitation in my mind. Gaudiya Math, people fought with one another after the demise of Guru Maharaj, but my disciples have already begun fighting even in my presence. So I'm greatly concerned about it, following in the footprints." Prabhupada always uses footprints instead of footsteps. "Following in the footprints of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Trinadapi Sunichena Chodora Api Sahishnana Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Siddhahari. One should chant the holy name of the Lord in a humble state of mind, thinking oneself lower than the straw in the street. One should be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and should be ready to offer all respect to others. In such a state of mind, one can chant the holy name of the Lord constantly. We must always remember this verse and be as tolerant as the tree as we execute the Krishna consciousness movement. Without this mentality, we cannot be successful." So I wanted to start with a quote from Prabhupada. Of course, I thought about it when I looked up this quote, and I was thinking that this probably applies, it's a universally applicable quote, but under the present circumstances, devotees are associating with each other physically so little that it's probably fewer opportunities to get into quarrels with one another. So it's a good opportunity to avoid getting into quarrels with one another. And not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. There must be a reason behind all of this, that maybe we can also take advantage of this opportunity to learn how to appreciate the physical proximity of devotees more. Yes, it's nice to associate through the internet and through this medium, but in the times of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and certainly in the times when Srila Prabhupada was present, there was a lot more physical proximity for associating with devotees, and therefore a lot more opportunities for one benefiting by that physical proximity and hearing and chanting, and opportunities also to potentially commit offenses and get into unnecessary arguments and fault finding, and to display many of the qualities which we should try to be overcoming while chanting Hare Krishna. So this is a quote from Srila Prabhupada. And what we read from yesterday, as we said, was a quote from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And the question is, what is the true meaning of being humbler than a blade of grass? And he makes an interesting point that although the Vaishnava is topmost personality, he considers himself more insignificant than a blade of grass. In reality, he is not insignificant or lowly. Rather, he is worthy of being honored by the Supreme Lord himself. Vaishnavas are worthy of everyone's worship and honor. That is why the word Sunicha has been used instead of simply Nicha. And we explained yesterday that we elaborated on it, but I'm only summarizing it, that Lord Chaitanya left behind only written form, only the Sikshastika prayers. And obviously, he was very careful in his use of words. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta makes the point in this reference that Nietzsche means low. And he says that when the prefix su is added to Nietzsche, and su indicates goodness, virtue, and beauty. And therefore, oftentimes, the word sunichena is translated rather than lower than the straw in the street. He says that it means more humble than the straw in the street. And because otherwise he would just say Nietzsche, which means lower. But he brings out the point that the quality of humility is a very exalted quality. There is virtue. There is, as he describes here, goodness and virtue. And excuse me, my phone does this a lot. And beauty. And I'm going to go on and read it. I am the dust of the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev. I am the servant of Sri Guru and Sri Krishna. This transcendental self-conception, or abhiman, is indeed trinadapi sunichata, being humbler than a blade of grass. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary of Sikshastika prayers, he gives the example. He said that a blade of grass is its ego, has an ego, but its ego is a blade of grass. A blade of grass is trampled on, and a blade of grass, when trampled on, it then comes up and stands erect again. And there's not much to a blade of grass in terms of its ego. Its abhiman is, I'm a blade of grass, and not much more than that. And he makes the point that what does it mean to be more humble than a blade of grass? He says, because of a human being, the blade of grass is actually more closer to its reality than a human being. Because the human being, although should be thinking like the blade of grass, it's not very significant, but because his ego is more puffed up, and he thinks himself to be much more significant than a blade of grass thinks itself to be. Therefore, the human being should learn something from the blade of grass. The human being should learn how to become humbler than a blade of grass, because a blade of grass is not very puffed up. It just, its ego is just, I'm a blade of grass. But the human being is thinking so many things. It's not connected with reality. So therefore, he explains that this is what it means to be humbler than a blade of grass. And therefore, we see in many instances that just as when Rupa and Sanatan, when they came before Lord Chaitanya, we always see the example of them placing a piece of straw in their teeth, prostrating themselves, because they are trying to put themselves in a position of less significant than a blade of grass. Blade of grass is more significant than I am, and they hold it up between their teeth and try to place themselves below. So this is what Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is expanding on in this point, and I'm going to read a little bit more because I said I'm going to summarize what I spoke about yesterday, and then we're going to read a little bit more. Sriman Mahaprabhu gave three teachings: compassion toward all living entities, jiva doi; taste for the holy names, namaruchi; and service to the Vaishnavas, Vaishnava seva. Trinadapi sunichata does not mean duplicity, enacting humility externally or through words alone. The true meaning of Trinadapi sunichata is the actual ability or adhikar to perform kirtan. In other words, it means to have true taste for chanting the holy names, identifying oneself as the servant of Sri Nam. Service to Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas is the only doorway to attaining taste for chanting the holy names. That service alone is Trinadapi Sunichata. One's expression of lowliness or nichata, humility or prayer for mercy, should be exhibited in front of the Vaishnavas, not in front of a Vaishnavas. We elaborated on this a lot yesterday. If you want to hear that elaboration, then you'll have to go to yesterday's discussion. It's posted on YouTube. Today I'm just reading. But to summarize, he even summarizes it. I'll just read his summaries. The Mahajans, the great spiritual authorities, have advised that one's humility should not be made evident in front of anyone and everyone. To express one's humility in front of an atheist who is envious of Sri Guru and the Vaishnavas, in front of a demoniac person like Ravana, or in front of a pretentious Brahmin, is not Vaishnava Seva, nor is it Trinadapi Sunichata. If a person does so, he can never attain the ability to perform kirtan, nor can he develop taste for chanting the holy names. In fact, such a misplaced display of humility in an act of violence is an act of violence toward other living entities. On the other hand, when Sri Hanuman, devotee of Sri Ram, set all of Lanka on fire, it was truly Trinadapi Sunichata. It's deep. Essentially, the point is that we should be very careful in our display of humility, and he emphasizes the point that humility, feeling oneself lower than or humbler than the straw on the street, is an act of submission to Vaishnavas. We submit ourselves to Vaishnavas, as he says, jiva doya and Vaishnava seva, namaruchi. And he says, through Vaishnava seva, it is the only doorway for obtaining namaruchi. So Vaishnava seva means as display of a genuine display of humility, and he emphasizes the point, not an exaggerated or an external display of humility, but a genuine display of humility is manifest in terms of one thinking himself to be very humble and insignificant. And it also includes the desire to please and to serve the Vaishnavas, and therefore our humility includes submission to Vaishnavas. But if we manifest humility to Avaishnavas and submit ourselves to Avaishnavas, or persons who are not worthy of such submission, then he says, actually, this is compared to be like an act of violence. Because as we explained yesterday, how do you please a person who's a non-devotee? He can't be pleased. He doesn't know what being pleased is. to understand that real self-satisfaction is bhajaniya paramasukha matrasasukhatvam. Real self-satisfaction is based on Krishna's pleasure. Otherwise, there's no hope to be truly and fully self-satisfied. Savai pung samparo damo yato bhaktiradhoksajay. How can one be self-satisfied unless he's actually engaged in unmotivated and uninterrupted service to the Lord? So when you try to satisfy a non-devotee, somebody who has no conception of how to be satisfied, whose lust is burning, whose desires are ever increasing, and then he compares that to be like an act of violence, because if you submit to such a person, then you contribute to their envious acts. And you become a culprit. you become an accomplice to their envious desires and envious acts by submitting humbly, humble submission to a non-devotee. So therefore, he says that we should be very careful that this humility or submission or feeling oneself humbler than a blade of grass is something that we should do before Vaishnavas, and which includes Vaishnava Seva, and by service to Vaishnavas, who are those who are spreading the glories of the holy name of the Lord. I always remember, I'm reading every morning in the daily prayers, he reasons ill who say that Vaishnavas die when thou art living still and sound. Vaishnavas die to live, and in living try to spread the holy name around. So this is a Vaishnava, is one whose mission is to induce others to take up the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. And any service to such Vaishnavas is genuine compassion. And this is the way to obtain Namaruchi, a taste, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is the way to obtain a taste for the holy name of the Lord, is through service to the Vaishnavas. Or as he says, it's the doorway to the taste of the holy name of the Lord. And then he said, gives the example of Hanuman. He said that Hanuman's activities, what did he do when he went to Lanka? And then he set all of Lanka on fire. And someone may say, how is setting all of Lanka on fire an act of humility, thinking oneself humbler than the blade of grass? He said, but this is real Srinadapi Sunichena. Why? Because he was in total submission to the service and desires of Sri Ramachandra. Total submission, Vaishnava Seva. And therefore, his act was beneficial for everyone. There was no envy in his act of setting Lanka on fire. There was no malice. It was simply an instrument in the service of the Lord. So this is the point that he's making here, that on the other hand, when Sri Hanuman, the devotee of Sri Ram, set all of Lanka on fire, it was truly Trinadapi Sunichita. Okay, as I said, I was going to read a little bit more than yesterday. And that's, we talked a little bit about humbler than the blade of grass. And here is also a section in the Sri Shikshastaka, more tolerant than a tree. A lot could be said of that. He says, now to explain the real purport of Toro Api Suhishnana, more tolerant than a tree. The tree is considered tolerant because it never neglects to offer its cooling shade and succulent fruits, even to the woodcutter. I have personal experience of this, actually. This is why we're laughing, because of the last 2 days. The trees here surrounding the building, they have a tendency, when there's a lot of rain, then the trees, which are tilted, they fall down and they destroy property. And therefore, some of the trees which had the greatest potential to do that, just in the last 2 days, we've had the tree cutters here and cutting down the trees because they would fall down anyways, because as soon as the wet season comes, and it's been raining here practically every day, and even though it's summer, it's not even the rainy season yet. So therefore, in an attempt to avoid that potential, just a few trees have been cut down. And here, the tree is considered tolerant because it never neglects to offer its cooling shade and succulent fruits, even to the woodcutter who is going to cut it down. I'm wondering what the woodcutters are doing with the trees. Oh, they use it for wood, for cooking. The devotee of Lord Krishna is kinder still because he is compassionate to every living entity, whether friend or foe, desiring only their highest welfare. One who chants offenselessly is overwhelmed with thoughts of others' well-being. Thus, the second special quality, compassion without envy, is being described. He thinks, "O my Lord, my friends and companions and all living entities are so unfortunate. How can they develop love and attraction for chanting your all auspicious names? They are sopped down in the quagmire of family attachment, wealth, property, successes, failures, loss and profit, joys and sorrows, birth and death, etc., all because they are blinded by Maya. There is not the slightest indication that they are disgusted with a futile material existence filled with anarthas or unwanted things. They are slowly strangling on the rope of unlimited desires for mundane sense gratification, all the while busying themselves in vacuous pursuits of fruitive action that promise them divine pleasures and of empirical knowledge that tantalize them with the promise of liberation. How can these persons become attracted to self-realization? Praying to the Lord in this way, the devotee's heart is flooded with spiritual emotions, and he begins to sing loudly, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kaloa, Nasteva, 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 Gatiranyata. Lord Chaitanya also, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, he quotes this verse, begins describing the meaning of this verse, that the emphasis is that it's repeated three times because there has to be emphasis that in this age of Kali, there is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way. And then he goes on to explain that the meaning of the Sikshastaka 3 verse, the third verse of Sikshastaka prayers. And he says that a tree is so tolerant that even if it's drying up, it will never ask anyone for water. Even if somebody comes and breaks its branches, it will never complain. And one has to practice the forbearance of a tree. He says that if one practices the forbearance of the tree and never retaliates for any abuse, and at the same time, if he's always satisfied to accept whatever comes of its own accord, then he says one very nice verse, which is oftentimes quoted from the Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says that He says, one should strictly follow the principle of always chanting the holy name, and one should be satisfied with whatever he gets easily. Such devotional behavior solidly maintains one's devotional service. So this is Toroa Iva Sohishnana, to be more tolerant than a tree. And Lord Chaitanya says that in relationship to that verse, he said one should spread this verse on the thread of the holy name of the Lord, and he should place it around his neck for constant remembrance. And this way, a devotee who practices these four qualities, as we read the other day, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his song from Gita Mala, he prayed, when he described these four qualities, he said, when will I become qualified to obtain these four qualities? A devotee prays in this way. He doesn't think that I am qualified, but he prays to become qualified so that these qualities will someday manifest in himself. And that is, of course, the prayer that a devotee meditates on when chanting the holy name of the Lord. If one develops this attitude of humbler than the blade of grass, more tolerant than the tree, we didn't read yet about ready to offer all respect to others and never expecting any respect for himself. Those in themselves are topics for a presentation alone. But we won't go into them now. We want to just simply speak a little bit on these topics today, and then we'll go in and we'll begin chanting our japa. So, there was one other quote, but I can't find it. It was a short quote I wanted to read, but maybe I'll do it next time. It's, we didn't put the clock. It's time, began our japa. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaura Bhakti Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Hare. But I wanted to say just a few things before I end. Is Dera still there? Dera, are you still there? Yes, okay, just a second. I'm going to say something first. This is not connected to you at all, but something coming up afterwards is going to be connected to you. I had this thought, when I was speaking before this, I had this picture in my mind of Rupa and Sanatan coming before Lord Chaitanya with the straw in their teeth and prostrating themselves. The wonderful painting of that. Can't remember where that painting is. And that picture was somehow in my mind. Placing themselves before Lord Chaitanya in the mood of being humbler than the straw on the street. And I was thinking that this is the mood, obviously. And that's where the point that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it's a humble mood of submission before one's superiors is to feel oneself humbler than the straw on the street. And we don't ever hear about Rupa and Sanatan placing a straw between their teeth when they're engaged in service to Nawab Hussein Shah, or we don't hear about placing a straw in the teeth. You know, in fact, Rupa and Sanatan even said that we're more fallen than Jagai and Madhai because we're such offenders, because we engage in rendering service to the Nawab Hussein Shah, and because of our service to his government, we're implicated in that service. It's just the same point that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur makes, that this humble submission should not be manifest before a Vaishnavas. They had to serve, but it was not in this mood of humble submission, which one submits himself before a superior Vaishnava. So the straw between the teeth is that mood of humble submission, of humility in the presence of superior Vaishnavas. Of course, in the presence of Vaishnavas, we should always try to feel ourselves to be in the presence of superior Vaishnavas. And another thought that went through my mind is in the song of Govinda Das, where he says, Sita Atapa Bhattapa Rishana Iteki Echipara Titire. No. Edina Jamani Jagire Vipala Sevanu Pipala Dura Jana Chapala Sukha Laba Lagire. He says that in freezing cold, scorching heat, and terrible wind of rain, I have served so many wicked masters. And he's submitting himself in that way, that previously I've submitted myself to so many wicked masters, but now, Eidana Jovana Putra Parijana Itike Achipare Titire Kamala Dala Jala Jivana Tala Malabajahu Hari Paranitire, that I should not be rendering service to these wicked masters, but instead I should be engaged in the exclusive, the only necessity is service to Sri Hari. And he's praying in this way, thus distinguishing between the service to masters who are not worthy of our humble submission. We have to serve them under certain circumstances, yes, but it's not with humble submission. But real humility, humbler than a blade of grass, therefore Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura means, should be manifest to Vaishnavas, before Vaishnavas, not before the non-Vaishnavas. And if we manifest that true humility, the true submission to non-Vaishnavas, and with a desire exclusively simply to please them because we want to see them pleased, then that's why Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says it's an act of violence. So that is thought that went through my mind. Wanted to share that. And then, Dira, somebody sent me a picture 2 days ago. And I wanted to show it. And I asked, do you have the thumb drive connected? I'm going to share it.
All right.
You're unmuted.
Yes.
Yeah, hold it just 1 second. This just 2 days ago, this picture was sent to me. It's called Dira. You see it? Dira. Right there. Dira. You just went over it. Yeah. Open it up. Do you see it? No, not yet.
I don't see a picture.
Oh, no, it's not shared yet. I just found that out.
Oh, there it is, yeah. 86.
What year was that?
86, right after you took sannyas. You were growing, your hair out to go to Russia. Behind the Iron Curtain. So that's you, Eshihanta, me, devotee from Michigan, I can't remember his name, and Brahma Sampradaya.
Okay.
Blissful Harinam on Boston Common.
Yes. We used to go on Harinam all the time on the Boston Common, quite frequently. That's why my hair is long, because I was on my way to the Soviet Union.
For the first time, you were going through the Iron Curtain. It was a very... scary. It was very scary to go over there at that time for us.
Uh-huh.
The KGB was right on your case.
Uh-huh. Okay. Then it couldn't have been 86 because I didn't go to the 89. Yeah.
Maybe 80, maybe a little later, but you were growing your hair out to go to the Soviet
Union. For that reason.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. Yes. Somebody just sent this picture to me 2 days ago, and I thought I should share it. Dira and I used to go out in Harinam regularly in Boston, and is Dira playing the Vridanga. Dira also chanted with me on that first studio recording that we did, and it was 1988 with the morning prayers. That was 89?
November 2nd, 1989, or maybe November 4th. There was an Ekadashi.
You remember these things much better than I do.
Yeah. I remember written on the tape that I had. I had the master tape for it. Blissful times, Maharaj.
Yeah. We should go out in Harinam again if this virus ever disappears.
Yeah. So come on back. We'll go on Harinam. Let's do it.
All right.
I had that same doubt that was in your mind about humility.
Uh-huh.
That we still have to display humility. I mean, it's kind of expected that a devotee should show humility. Not, we're not all Hanuman that we can go burn down Lanka in the place of the demons, you know? So that was the doubt that I had in my mind. But then I thought of Lord Chaitanya also. He was very humble before, when he went to Varanasi, before the Mayavadi Sannyasi. Yes, he sat down humbly where they placed the shoes. And it kind of melted their hearts. They said, oh, dear Sannyasi, come. They said, why don't you study Vedanta? Why are you sentimentally dancing and chanting these things? And Lord Chaitanya said, actually, my spiritual master told me I'm a great fool and that I should only chant Hare Krishna. And somehow their hearts were melted by his humility. So I found it that showing humility, even to the demons, is can melt their hearts. But our humility is such that whatever you tell me, I'm not going to give up my chanting of Hare Krishna. And I'm not going to give up these principles of Krishna consciousness. So Lord Chaitanya demonstrated that with the Kaji when he gave the order, no more Harinam in Navadvip. And Lord Chaitanya got 100,000 devotees to go to his house, and he was actually scared. But Lord Chaitanya conducted himself in a very humble way, even before the Kaji. So,
but another very important point, simply to take your point just a little bit beyond that, it's all taken, everything that you made it, but with a point about humble submission, Lord Chaitanya did not humbly submit to Prakashananda Saraswati. In fact, he defeated him.
Or the Kaji, correct.
Or the Kaji.
Correct.
Nor Keshava Kashmiri, nor anybody. He never humbly submitted to them, nor Salvabhama Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he sat there and he was very humble and he was very respectful, but he didn't humbly submit to their nonsense.
The devotee shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that, oh, I'm not going to be humble in front of the demons. I'm, you know, we should show the qualities of humility, but we humbly are going to do our chanting of Hare Krishna. We're going to follow these principles. We're going to follow the orders of our spiritual master.
Yes.
No matter what.
And that's why I added the word submission. And I tried to make that point, but I didn't think it was clear enough. Submission means, yes, we don't necessarily humbly submit. And Lord Chaitanya, he was humble, definitely displayed all humility in the presence of all those four persons and more. The Kazi, Prakashananda, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and his humility defeated them. His humility itself was disarming, but he didn't submit to their nonsense philosophy.
We humbly don't submit.
So thank you. Actually, it would be nice to churn a little bit more. I actually relish it. I like it. It's really hard sometimes just to sit here and to see everybody on the other side. But muted. This was good. Thank you very much for participating.
Thank you, Maharaj, for doing this. It's so wonderful to chant japa with you and all the devotees. Yadubar is also here.
Uh-huh. Yes, Yadubar is there.
Uh-huh. Every day he comes when you're on.
Uh-huh. Yes, Yadubar also, he sent me an email 2 days ago.
Haribol,
and he disagreed with me. And he didn't submit to something I said also.
We can discuss that, Maharaj, in greater length. We can discuss that separately, perhaps, at greater length. I did say, I hope I'm not being too contrary.
It was great.
Thank you. I have hope.
Hare Krishna. So let's end. And with everybody can be unmuted and we will chant.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Rama,